What's up, world?
What's up?
I'm a little hangry, but other than that, we're good.
You'll be all right. It builds character.
And who am I?
I am Fly. I am Sky. It ain't my fault.
It's not.
I'm not Sylv the Shocker. I'm not off my rocker. I'm Fly, and I'm straight from the A, where I will be in a couple of days, and I'm blessed and fresh. Currently residing in the Wild Wild West, and I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sylvs. VA all day, two up, two down, chilling in LA, La La Land. Work is kicking my behind, but I'll be in Seattle this Sunday, so let's go.
We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin
and lay your edges
and deepen your love for all things black women.
Oh, and then I guess this episode, we're going to talk about these NWSL Sippy Cup playoffs.
This is not the Sippy Cup.
Okay, fine, and this is the big... Okay, fine. Okay, that's cute, because your team's in the playoffs.
My team also made the playoffs.
Okay, don't do that, because they're in the...
No, it's just
the champagne,
not.
Crystalline...
Don't disrespect the playoffs for the Challenge Cup like that. It's messed up.
This is the grown-up Sippy Cup. This is like the... What do you call a grown-up Sippy Cup?
It's the playoff?
Call the little hunch punch? What you call a punch bowl?
What?
The Budweiser Cup of Life.
Oh, okay.
Playoffs.
Right. We're going to briefly talk about the playoffs. Because, one, half of us didn't stay up late enough to see that second game. But, two, other things have been happening since the last time we recorded, so...
Yes, and then we're going to talk about NWSL news. The main thing is we're going to talk about this Yates report in this ESPN E60 documentary.
Yeah.
Finally. And then we're going to do hits and writs. And I guess shout outs and stuff.
Yes. Week. We'll try to keep it short for our sake as much as yours. Let's get into it. So like we mentioned, the NWSL playoffs began this weekend. With two games on Sunday at 2 Pacific time and 7 o'clock at night Pacific time, which is 10 o'clock East Coast time. Never do this again in WSL. So the first match up was the 4-seed Houston Dash versus the 5-seed Kansas City Current in Houston. Houston broke a playoff record in terms of attendance with over 21,000 fans. And they got a really, really good game. It ended up being 2-1. Kansas City at the death. Goals by Lola Bonta on a penalty in the 6th minute. And we did a Rocket celebration.
Yes.
Okay.
For the people.
Sophie Smith continued her year of the volley and scored in the 21st minute to tie the game. And it was 1-1 until 90 plus 10, because that's how much extra time we had in this game.
Yes.
Honestly, the very last play.
Yes.
Lola Bonta assisted Delfava for her very first NWSL goal.
Yes.
Kansas City prevails. And we'll mention where teams are going in just a second. But that was the first game of the day. And then the late game would be the 3-seed San Diego Wave. I had to think about it. And the Chicago Red Stars. This game went into extra time. I'm sorry. And San Diego would prevail in extra time. 2-1 at home. Goals were by Yuki Nakasato in the 10th minute. Emily Von Eggman in the 67th. And the game winner by Alex Morgan in the 110th minute. I didn't make it through the San Diego.
Okay, so let's briefly go back to the first game.
Okay.
That first game... I don't know. Houston was doing some choiceful tactical things. And as a result, they ended up losing because you take off Ebony Salmon in the game you need to win for why?
Yeah, that seemed to confound the timeline.
For Eddie, that made no sense.
And after the game, he said it was a tactical, like, attacking substitution. And we were all very confused.
Ebony was out here pressing, was like,
your
Kansas City was stressed.
Score.
They were stressed.
Yeah, she just because she wasn't scoring doesn't mean she wasn't affecting the game.
Yeah, she was causing all kind of problems. Yeah. And also, AD French had to stand on her head. So
woo, that's part of what... Hasn't she done that all year?
Yeah, because Alozie should have had a phenomenal bomb goal.
And toward the end there. Yeah. And we'll probably... I mean, we'll do superlatives later, probably at the end of the year. But shout out to Kristen Edmonds, man.
Yes.
Just... Woo! We see you, sis. Ball.
Yeah. And then also Lola Bonta. Why was she in the MVP conversation? I don't know.
She was not in it, and I think she felt away about
it. Yeah, because she did that thing. I guess I watched the San Diego-Chicago situation. Chicago should have won this game, but...
They don't got no bodies.
Ain't got no bodies. They're exhausted. Get Aaron and Whistler out the paint. We will talk about it. We're going to roast them later.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll come up in bits and pieces, but if you haven't, read Claire Watkins' article about the entirety of the Chicago.
Yeah. So, Chicago, honestly, so if I'm a San Diego fan, I'd be concerned because Chicago should have probably won. And honestly, if the coach for Chicago does what he usually did in the season is like rotate people, if he just rotates people at the right time, they probably win this game.
So, I think he didn't he really didn't have a ton of defenders, but I'm also like, at some point you just need legs. Like you just need.
Yeah. Because if they have legs, they probably win this game. They effectively, they kind of imploded towards the end because they were exhausted.
San Diego, essentially their tactic was one, they did make the adjustment. Because listen, that midfield was good.
Yeah. That midfield was getting eat up, out possessed and everything.
I imagine we haven't mentioned who they're playing yet, but yeah. I think that's one. Though, credit to Casey Stoney, who mentioned it afterwards. She's like, we're getting overrun. I made a tactical adjustment. Side note for everyone. You realize Casey Stoney always makes her adjustments during injuries, and I'm doing air quotes, injury timeouts. Okay. I just wanted to point that out for all the coaches. Little gamesmanship. Also, she used up her one, because that injury report was a lot.
It was a lot, yeah. Because definitely Alex Morgan and Taylor Fournier played 50 million. Yeah,
she can't play for 120 minutes through pain.
Yeah, she absolutely definitely not. Yeah, she Casey was definitely fine.
That's any coach, and this is any sport, you can do that once. Okay, nobody will believe you ever again.
Okay, right. Man props to you, and you didn't want to send your people over there to England to get yeeted. We'll talk about that at some point later. But, basically, San Diego, we can talk about next week. San Diego next week plays Portland. That's going to be interesting because Portland has a midfield. And so all they can possess two.
Yes, I should just say that's the number 3 seed versus the number 2 seed in Portland, who had a bye week. Yes.
And they play them at 2 p.m. next week.
Yeah, they're a 2 p.m. game.
And yeah.
2 p.m. Pacific, sorry guys.
Yeah, Portland runs a 3-5-2. They're going to be all on those lanes. Yeah. They're probably really mad about what happened. And
San Diego embarrassed them last
time. Yeah, San Diego embarrassed them at their house. And then, they had people dancing up in the stands. Yeah, they going to want to get it back. And then also, Portland had an early exit out the playoffs last year, coming out flat-footed. So
losing at home.
Losing at home. They, too, lost at home. Similar to who's the other team playing?
All right. So the reason I will be in Seattle this Sunday is because I will be covering my Lorraine.
Unless you didn't say the number one scene. Sorry.
Shield winners.
Okay. All right.
Getting our flag at the top of Space Needle on Friday. Get excited. So it'll be Lorraine, number one seed, versus Kansas City, number 5 seed, in Seattle at 4:30. Keep buying those tickets, Seattle. We're over 14,000, so keep going. Kansas City gives us problems. The only upside, not upside, because we don't ever want to see people get hurt, but man, did Kansas City get wrecked.
Yeah, they got ran through.
It looks like Lavoisier's out. I don't imagine she's going to be able to. She's on crutches. And I think some people were like, that could have been a bone and not even a muscle. So her teammates were hugging her. Like, I felt really bad for her. And then Kristen Edmonds looked like she tore something. And then just kept playing. Yeah. I was like, what's happening right now?
Yeah. She got carried off by Adriana French.
That happened to Danny Colaprico, too. I was like, didn't she die? I think she was on AD French's back at the end of the game. So we'll see what that looks like. But they do get one of the best sixes in the world in Desi Scott back. The Loera did an excellent job in that role and is a really good rookie in an amazing rookie class. But yeah, I'm nervous because we did lose to Kansas City this year. They play us really well. I don't want to lose at home again. If I have to go cover this team two years in a row at home and they lose, I'll be so mad. Okay, that's it.
But all right, yeah. You got your okay
prediction. So, oh, we're doing predictions.
Yeah. So I think both home teams will win.
I agree.
Because there's just like the energy level. In the case of San Diego, this non-midfield, I think Casey Stoney gonna believe next year because she needs a midfield desperately. Well, Chicago couldn't execute, Portland can. So, yeah.
And they also have a deeper team.
Yeah.
I agree. I think both home teams will lose off. I mean, win. Sorry. Oops. Nope. Redo. Edit. Both home teams will win because they lost last year.
Yeah, that's the biggest
thing. I just think they have too much pride.
Yeah, they got too much pride. They're not trying to do
that. And they're both deep, and both teams are deeper. Both
and they're way they're way deeper than they were last year. Teams act like they know how to shoot. And honestly, Kansas City is so hurt.
I'm worried about them. And honestly, San Diego played 120 minutes. That's a lot of football. Yeah. And it's not a long trip, but they still have to travel.
Right.
Also, speaking of snubs, I think Ryan Wilkerson, God, I can't talk, I'm hangry. I think she feels like she should have been on that list.
Yeah, she should have been on the list for player. I think she coach feels like she,
but yeah, I think she feels that. So we'll see. But yeah, I think both home teams pull it off. And man, with Cascadia for the final will be a narrative. Like what a
yeah, it's gonna be a little bananas.
It'd be the fifth time those teams have played this year.
I can't wait because anybody wins.
And they've all and only one of them hasn't been a draw.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
I really don't want to see penalty kicks, by the way. But anywho,
we'll
see. Yeah. I have thoughts. We'll see if they come to fruition. But anywho.
Yeah. I reserve the right to delete this portion of the episode if I'm wrong. Okay.
Okay, whatever. In other NWSL news.
Yes. So speaking of, hey, maybe San Diego wants to go get a few midfielders. The NWSLPA announced yesterday, so we're recording this on a Tuesday, so on Monday, that they won in arbitration. So there was a dispute with the league and the PA about what is a free agent. The league said if you have an option on your contract, a player option, that you are not a free agent. The PA, obviously backing their union, said you are. And so 22 people were up in the air with asterisks by their names until Monday. Now those 22 extra players are free agents. They are names that you know, a few that you might not, if you're new, especially if you're newer to the sport. And I will say the big name on that list is definitely Dabinia. Yeah.
Yeah. We will talk about that.
Okay.
In the interest of time, God. We will talk about the greatness
we'll
that's coming.
We'll talk about why you were muted on the timeline.
People are proactively muting. I'm going to get started, but we haven't entered full beach season. I'm letting us get to the end of the year. Beaches are open. If you are a player, I'm just letting you know the beaches are open. The West
you
Coast
better be careful
the
before
coast.
They find you for tampering.
I'm not tampering. I'm just making a note. I'm saying the beaches, there are several beaches. Okay. I could be talking about the Bay Area beaches. I could be talking about the Seattle beaches.
Okay.
Seattle,
I mean, you
covered
yourself.
Damn beach.
That's fine.
See?
But yeah, all of that to say, welcome to free agency.
Yes.
Some of you probably don't believe in player rights as much as you thought you did, because the NWSL's never had them.
Yep.
It's going to be bananas. Buckle up.
Buckle up. All that money is going to get hit. Yeah. Money gun season. To the homies. It's money gun time, y'all. It's time to turn up.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be extra. So prepare yourself.
So mute. Do what you got to do. Okay.
That ain't what that means. Okay, whatever. The Ballon d'Or
The Ballon d'Or was also... the Ballon d'Or ceremony also happened yesterday. On Monday, and for the second year in a row, I don't think this was super surprising, Alexis Putellas won the Ballon d'Or. In terms of the three Americans that were nominated, Katerina Macario finished highest in ninth place, and then Alex Morgan wasn't she 13?
Yeah, something like that.
And then Trinity Rami was 16, I believe. So yeah, I think Alexia is probably the best player in the world when healthy, and two, that was a safe choice because the rest of y'all were Y'all were gonna argue about the rest of them. Ooh, so
Lord, that was all hell would have broke loose.
And y'all still arguing about the rankings. And I have some feelings about those rankings, but it wasn't that serious for me yesterday. So
We will. Yeah. I got a rant. We are gonna do a rant after this little dive in on report. But yeah, I got a rant on that on Mr. Vlacko and for this here thing. These rankings of these black players. But we'll get into that. And then what's the last point?
That's fair. And quickly, like I mentioned, for Houston, they broke the playoff attendance record with over 21,000 people in attendance. And the record was broken 3 hours later by San Diego, who had over 26,000 at Aztec Stadium. Snapdragon, thank you. Which is a flower. but yeah, so it's really cool to see fans showing up to games in this country in particular. Please don't get obsessed with the numbers. Like, I think breaking records is great, but also not every area can get that many people.
Right.
So break the records you can break for the community that you are in.
And also do it safely, because if there's going to be racism, if there's going to be dangerous situations,
transphobia, homophobia, sexism,
it's not safe. You just invited anybody willy-nilly. That is unacceptable behavior.
I think the next big thing is, I want 21,000 people who want to be there.
Yes, that part.
And who are there to watch women's soccer. And I think there's work to be done all around on that. But it is really cool to see attendance records being broken. Hopefully it means better, not just more investment, but better investment in the places where it needs to go. That's what I got.
All right, so we're going to take a brief break.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back to the reports.
Yo, what's up? It's L from the 2 Cents SC Show. Join Amobi and I each week as we talk with individuals from around the soccer world, learning about their stories and getting their unfiltered thoughts and opinions. You can catch all episodes on the 2 Cents SC YouTube channel or wherever you listen to podcasts. Tap in.
I'm going to read an excerpt.
Oh, okay. You go ahead and read this excerpt, Deacon. Are you a reverend or deacon?
I just need y'all to know that's funny because my parents are ministers and I fought against that title for 38 years.
You better accept it, reverend.
I know.
Let's go.
I'm not ready yet. Leave me alone.
I meant to add some church music and get the
I love the Lord, but I cuss too much. I can't do that right now.
Love the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Wow. Listen, I was listening to Clark Sisters yesterday. I needed it. So listen. By now, I think the world knows.
Yes.
That 2 Mondays ago, or was it last Monday? It was last Monday, right? Mm-hmm. What is time? Last Monday, sorry. Sally Yates, former assistant AG for the United States of America under several presidents, who was tasked with doing an independent investigation by U.S. Soccer into the abuse in the NWSL, released a report after a year's worth of investigating, doing her due diligence. First and foremost, Sally Yates is fucking good at her job, okay? I need people to understand that. And she's very thorough. And this report is also not exhaustive. And it clearly is centered around the abuse on the field, particularly around sexual abuse and harassment, and also mental and verbal abuse and emotional abuse as well, and manipulation and everything else. However, I want to read this excerpt from the report because it's not being mentioned a whole lot, but this is in the report, and incredibly important to us in particular and black people in WOSO.
Okay, now, come on, Reverend.
Multiple players also reported frustration at the league's long-standing failure to adequately address racism and racially insensitive remarks. Players reported witnessing the use of racist slurs, as well as routinely encountering racially insensitive remarks and microaggressions. One player noted that many in the league are uncomfortable with race and do not know how to connect with Black players at the player, coach, or GM level.
Oh, Lord.
Women's soccer has been criticized for its lack of diversity, and even the league's logo, featuring a silhouette of a woman kicking a ball, clearly represents a white player. This lack of diversity traces back to the pipeline of players that have been traditionally limited by the sport's inaccessibility and, quote, young Black girls' experience of racism firsthand from teammates and parents, unquote. An issue that the Black Women's Players Collective has sought to address by, quote, confronting actions that deny access, limit representation, and deepen inequality in all aspects of society, unquote. In May 2020, in the wake of George Floyd's murder to the fool who used to rap and says nonsense, issues of race and racism were front and center across the nation, and many players in the league chose to kneel to show their support of the Black Lives Matter movement. Kneeling, however, was not universally popular, and at least one team simply stopped coming out during the anthem to avoid the issue altogether. Players of color reported feeling stress and a lack of support. In August and September of 2020, public allegations surfaced of racist behavior, front office sexism, and a toxic work environment at the MLS franchise Real Salt Lake and the former NWSL team Utah Royals. Utah Royals FC. In late August, multiple complaints of racist remarks were raised about the owner, Delroy Henson. More than one individual also described him as touchy, stroking their cheeks and holding their hands. One of the women felt so uncomfortable that she contacted the league, league personnel about Henson's conduct in 2019. I read that whole paragraph because it included the racism bit, but I will stop there. So there are three sections about racism. And again, this is not exhaustive. And Sally Yates did a press call, essentially, the day the report came out and said as much. That if she was going to be exhaustive, she would have had to spend another year or two, essentially, doing her due diligence. So she wanted to get a report out and get recommendations out. Do you want to go first?
No, you go first. Go ahead.
I'll try to keep it brief, and I'll circle back to that passage in just a moment. Okay.
Come on, Deacon.
This is widespread systemic abuse, right? We're talking about one league, and we're talking about a federation, because once again, who ran the league?
U.S. Soccer.
Okay. We know so little, and it's overwhelming, and it's made us angry, and your anger has been righteous, right? It is at the very least forced Chicago and Portland to take power away from Mayor Paulson and Arnim Wisler, though it has not forced them to sell their teams, which they will still make money off of, though Arnim probably doesn't care because he's the cheapest man alive.
Ooh, Lord.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But this is so much deeper than any of us can actually know. I truly believe that. And I think if we ever truly uncovered everything, this will rival the Catholic Church and the Boy Scouts.
Yes, truth.
Because we're talking about youth soccer here. We're talking about our babies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm saying all of that in advance. So point one, I have nice little bullets here to keep it brief. I know you all are tired of me for a myriad of reasons, by the way. But I know you're tired of me saying this, but part of healing a culture that's founded in abuse, the abuse is not the symptom. It is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is the point in this. Healing a culture that's founded on abuse is about apologizing and correcting our behavior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This does not require you to have committed the crime or committed the abuse. It is about trust.
Mm-hmm.
So we, and I'm speaking as a member of the media, though I am a new one, We do not have the trust of a large amount of players.
Not at all.
And I know because they've told me.
Yep.
This is especially true, and why I read that passage first, of players with marginalized identities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about Black and players of color. I'm also talking about those marginalized in gender and those marginalized in their sexuality. And oftentimes, those are the very players who stood up to the power and had way more to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So no, we did not know. We didn't know. But we do now. And we should fucking feel bad. Like, we should. I'm not saying because it's guilt. I'm saying it because shitty things happen to people we purport to care about. We hurt those people. Even if we didn't know, it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We need the players. Just like the league needs the players and those coaches need the players. They entertain us, but they are the labor. Mm-hmm. And the staff is the labor too, and they have even less recourse. We'll talk about that at a later time. We owe them apologies. And apologizing is not a moral failure. It's not about you, right? This is a systemic thing. Everybody's going to have to apologize at some point.
Yep.
Right. To staff, to players, like a lot of people experienced more harm, because abusers were allowed to prosper, and we're all a part of that, and it sucks. And we got made fools of. And we still gotta say sorry. It's like when people talk about mental health and say you have an episode. That is incredibly valid, is part of who you are, but you are also not a different person. And any good therapist will tell you, you are still responsible for the harm you caused while that episode happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you are still accountable, and you still have to apologize, even if you don't know you did it.
Mm-hmm.
I know because I've been in therapy and had to have that conversation. So that's it. Or that's one thing. Two, the report points out that the system thrived in part because the NWSL, USSF, and individual teams all expected the other entities to take responsibility. One of the themes in this thing is a fear of litigation. And that fear outweighed most adults taking responsibility. And because, and this is my third point, in WOSO in particular, we don't say shit directly. We don't do direct communication. And it's a perfect recipe for abuse to thrive. Again, we are not committing the abuse. But always, abusive systems thrive because there's not direct communication. Now, sometimes that's because the power controls it, right? Like, if you read that article by Claire today, you see how maniacal Rory was about controlling information, right?
Yep.
In the little things. That's mm-hmm. abuse. And it's an individual thing, but it's also systemic.
Yes.
So, yeah, we need to communicate directly. So, like, if we need to say stuff to each other, say it.
Yep.
If we need to name an evil, we need to name it plain.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, I think you should, or maybe you should, hey, look into this, wink, wink, nod, nod, I've heard something. Say that shit plain.
Yes.
Evil lives when you don't name it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I saw the NHL put out a report today. They did was a discovery thing? Or whatever, to do an assessment. The sister who's the head of the DEI initiatives there. We can see with our eyeballs that the NHL is white, right? But she still had to do her due diligence because she essentially said, we cannot fix what we do not name. We cannot fix in the NWSL and in women's soccer and in soccer in general what we do not name.
Come on now.
So name it.
Don't.
Okay. Speaking of direct communication,
mm-hmm.
Again, those in power tend to control the flow of information. But that's also, you know what? I'll come back to it. No, I won't.
Come on.
The reason we read, I read that excerpt first, and we wanted it to be read first. So, I love y'all. I'm glad you're using the rot as a phrase. It is not mine, by the way. But you're still thanking a black woman, and you're still using the words of a black woman, because it's my mama's words. The same mom who I refer to as somebody who's had to deal with abuse in some of the most intimate settings. We're talking about churches. We're talking about religion. We're talking about spirituality, intimacy, in ways that very few things can be intimate in terms of faith and spirituality. And so the rot's something she's used to for a very long time. Fun fact, she sent me the Yates Report and she sent me a couple other articles. It's very fun. But the rot is white supremacy.
Come on now.
That's always what I've meant when I said the rot. That's always what she meant when she said the rot. Because it affects everything else. It affects everything else in the sport and in this culture. And so, once again, y'all be sick and tired of me. I don't give a damn. What are you gonna do about it? Because we can rightly feel disgusted and horrified at all the other things these men, because that's who the report is focused on, mostly. But it is not only men, and it was not only men named. Okay. USSF. Soccer in this country has a white supremacy problem.
Yes.
And if you thought I was going to be annoying about it before, you're going to have to cancel me. Y'all find every reason to call it something else. You find every reason to call it something else. And it's not. You have to confront it. You have to do the work. And my fear is the reason you won't deal with the racism is because it's the one thing you benefit from.
Ooh, okay now.
A lot of you have other marginalized identities, but you're white. And somewhere in your psyche, you know I'm right. It is it's one of the few privileges you have, and it is the privilege to have. No matter what your other identities are, it will never be as bad if you are a white version of that.
Now.
I probably had a lot more, but I don't want to step on your time.
No, add that last part, because you need to address if they not black.
Yeah, because truthfully, no matter how marginalized you aren't black. And in America, that's the ultimate currency. And I'm going to quote James Baldwin, because y'all need to hear it. James Baldwin once said, "The reason people think it's important to be white is because they think it's important not to be black."
Lord Jesus. Come on now!
Start there. Yeah, I know y'all gonna give me some nasty looks in DC. That's fine. I don't care. It's fine. But like, I will say this every week. I will annoy you. You can block me. You can hate me. I was about to be petty. Let me shut up. I was about to be so petty, and that's not what this is about. My mom and dad raised me better. I'm sorry.
Do not do that. I knew where you were going.
And don't you know exactly where I was going to. I know you did. And we are not on camera. That's what's funny. But I say all of that to say, and this is superficial, but it's not. You want to know how I know? This report gets at the heart of it and seems to understand it, at least, even though it could not go into detail on recommendations on how to fix it. Which he probably would have told y'all, read a motherfucking book.
Ooh, but come on, bars!
Sally Yates capitalized the B in black in that report.
Come on.
Like, it matters. And it matters that the vast majority of the people who spoke up, and not just spoke up, put their names on it, look more like me than you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how light they're bright.
Yep.
And I think some of your issue is they didn't do it the way you think it should be done.
Come on now.
And what happens often with black women and NBs is y'all want us to do it in the way that makes you comfortable. And if we do it that way, you tell us to do something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we all got to work together. We don't have to like each other. We don't have to agree with each other. But this is systemic and we got to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But my job in this fight is to remind y'all every day, y'all ain't doing anti-racist work.
Come on.
And that the problem is white supremacy.
Come on, preacher.
And I will tell you that in D.C. I will tell you that in Seattle. I will tell you that in Houston, Portland, San Diego, Los Angeles, wherever you need me to.
Come on,
I'll
now.
I'll tell you that in an expansion city that ain't even there yet.
Come on, Atlanta.
We have a white supremacy problem. And the only fix to the systemic abuse that has thrived because we have a white supremacy problem is to do the work.
The work.
And it's easier to do the work than every damn thing else y'all are doing. All right, I yield my, as my girl said at the LA County meeting, I yield my time, but fuck this.
Wait, this is a legitimate.
No, she really did. It was amazing.
Yeah, she yeah, but this is, excuse me, ma'am, this is a legitimate podcast
Sorry.
Situation.
Sorry. Okay, I'm done though. I am done.
Okay, I appreciate you, Deacon. Actually, you know what? I'm going to, before I go to the initial point of what I was going to talk about in regards to this report. Let me flash back to the E60 documentary while we're talking about the racism.
Okay. Before you go, can I just say?
Yes.
Lisa Bear, girl. Girl. Okay, go.
Okay, yeah. Well, we already knew disturbing things were going to come out in this documentary. It more so focused on what happened in Portland, what happened with Paul Riley, using clips of North Carolina Courage.
Mm.
You got to hear various entities speak. And I mm-hmm. guess, I don't know why they got on camera, because they all look crazy. Lisa Baird looked...
What a train wreck. Like, good God.
Lisa Baird proceeded to tell untruths that didn't match. She did it before, months ago. She did it repeatedly, and she did it again on camera. It was wild. Sunil acted like the league was a charity case, and then tried to talk about it, and you could see him in real time try to work through how illogical it was to tell us it was okay for the inefficient funds for allocation to be okay. Like, he was acting like the U.S. For U.S. soccer to effectively fund the NWSL at monopoly money levels, it was worth it when the Federation had millions of dollars. Richie Burke. Richie Burke hopped up on here. And okay. So let me talk about the racism, because the bigger point of my frustration with this documentary is it tried to effectively stay at a higher level but avoid the racism. But the racism was the big factors, particularly in Kaya's what Kaya reported, but also what happened with Mona Shim. Because everybody in this world is forgetting Mona Shim is a Hawaiian woman.
Yes. API. Yes.
She's API. And she identifies brown. And, yep. Like, I don't know. And I think people are missing the racism in this, where she repeatedly was trying to bring up what happened to her in Portland and didn't get even recognized until Alex Morgan, a white woman, communicated stuff.
Also, Manishim's a queer woman of color.
And she's a queer woman of color. And it didn't get taken seriously until a white woman reported it. Like,
which power, by the way, power to Alex Morgan. And one of the funniest moments was when Lisa Bear said she didn't get the email.
Yeah, she didn't get the email, and she pulled the receipts.
Like, a word, Twitter.
And then and then Lisa Bear proceeded to do this again on what are you doing?
And then Alex Morgan hit Twitter so fast. Woo!
She hit it Twitter, and then she, and so Lisa Bear then did it in the documentary, and then Alex had to repull, they repulled
the
receipts.
She was like, she said that?
Yes, like and you responded to the email, like, okay, whatever. But again, like, the acting like the racism is tied to it, Mona Shim didn't get hurt. What was happening with her and other people, it didn't get recognized until white women try to communicate. You can also look back at what happened with Kristen Press, a black woman, none of the stuff she's bringing up repetitively since 2014, not getting taken seriously, even in 2018 with layered reports and not getting and not believed, along with other black women, Sam Johnson, you know, then if you want to note, Jin Hui is a woman of color too, and the other players involved, like, not being taken seriously, the racism tied to that, the racist behavior Rory Dames was doing, you know, Paul Riley, stuff like that happening too. Like, acting like, you know, the racism wasn't tied to anything was really frustrating in this documentary. We know what happened with Kaya because Kaya's like our little sister.
Yeah.
And so we've heard things. And so it was really infuriating watching them intertwine her telling the story with him and his reaction. But I didn't like how the documentary wasn't recognizing the racism to it. And they weren't just letting what happened with Kaya stand on its own. And it's like really straight up racism. And, you know, you're trying to bring in her white teammates.
Right.
But it's like, it's coming back to the racism of the thing. Like, what happened was toxic. I really wanted to snap his neck.
I'm sorry, just a quick interruption.
Yeah.
Kaya has absolutely said she no longer wants to talk about this.
Right.
And we absolutely respect that, but we will always fight about Kaya and make sure you will never forget her name.
Right.
What she did, because it was brave as shit and she lost her career.
Yes.
But if you want a more accurate retelling, she has a podcast episode where she basically sat down, recorded, told everything, and said, I ain't doing this no more. So go listen to that.
Yes, she has a podcast episode that goes into it. But even how this was intertwined, I was so frustrated because it's like, you're still not calling a thing, and you're trying to just stick on verbal abuse, emotional abuse, and not confronting the racist abuse, mm-hmm. and belittling the racism and acting like the abuse is not equated to all the other abuses that are running rampant through this report. Like, it's all tied back to it, because racism is also the side effect of white supremacy, all these other abuses. Mm-hmm. And so not confronting that, then we don't have, it was kind of frustratingly hollow in a sense. So while, yeah, it exposed people to things that they might not have read if they didn't watch soccer or was involved in a sport, And at the time, and with the Sally Yates report, actually, that's why I figured that report was going to drop it like it did out the blue, because it was coming out. But still, the lack of like approaching and dealing with the racism, like, drove me insane. And I mean, that is the thing that ties all this together. And then like all the stuff that probably comes out in the secondary reports is probably running rampant with racism up and down the thing. And it's like, we have to address it, and there's got to be means for it. But bringing it back to this report, let's talk about some things that with this report, ramifications of this report, more importantly, because Sills gave a whole sermon that I just want to add to. The league is not folding, y'all. Even if it does not exist, if the NWSL goes away and the Sippy Cup of Life League of the World appears for the players, it's going to exist, because we did this before. True to life, it was a disaster when it reappeared as the NWSL, as they talked about in this documentary. However, you have to understand, the last time we lost the league, several players lost their careers instantly. And if they weren't on the national team, it totally, you lost a whole generation of players. That's why you got a big gap on the national team, if you want to know. In the age dynamic.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're basically about to watch how a league federation are about to get put on Front Street and deal with all the abuse in public. So it's going to go through all this stuff publicly. Also, there's just too much money. Multiple teams are worth a lot of freaking money now. So the cleansing is going to happen. People are going to get kicked out. Sponsors are on board. They're not running for the hills. And I think it's clear cut enough that you can't run away now. You can't turn your back. You got to deal with what was going on. And so I need people to not be folding up. Like, it's important to be vocal. Take breaks as you need to, but this isn't folding out. You can't completely knock it down and then try to rebuild. You better have something for people to move to, because most leagues around the world, they have the same problem. They just haven't been put on Front Street yet. I mean, nobody's devoid of this. So don't think because you're in Europe, don't think because you're in another part of the world, you were scot-free. Don't think because you think your team is quality and they're treating people right, I don't even think that. Mm-hmm. It probably too are in the same boat. It just ain't been out there yet.
Yeah.
Other than that, bigger ramifications is these three coaches did not have for real licenses and they were committing abuse. So I don't know. That's probably one of the bigger things aside from the racism that stuck out is like you literally let these coaches be coaching women involved with staff and they didn't have licenses. Yep. No matter what Racing Louisville, for example, put players under NDA, you literally had a man who did foolishness at Sky Blue come down to Racing Louisville knowingly and he didn't have no license and he proceeded to do all the abuse under the sun.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, the Christy Holly of it, like, listen, it's all egregious, right? In many different ways, from Burke to Dames to Riley, right?
Yes.
There's coaches that haven't been named in this that might come out. And there is another report coming.
Yep, it's coming, y'all.
So the league and the PA of the league are doing a joint report that is supposed to come out before the end of the year. And it will look into a lot of the cases that the Yates report just could not. Just in terms of scope, time, everything else. But yeah, like the Holly part where he hasn't had his license for a while.
Yes.
And this is an A license. So you are required to have a class A license to coach professional soccer, essentially, in this country.
Yes.
And at the federation level. Mm-hmm. He did not have that, and he was given exemptions for it.
Oh, Lord.
And there was a lot of assuming that he had it. And nobody checked, because he's a white man.
Yep, and that part right there. And so that's probably one of the bigger things that's going to have NWSL and U.S. soccer in hot, hot water. Because you then, on a number of levels, you first expose players to get abused by somebody who did not have a valid coaching license. You gave him a waiver. You gave him an exemption for you because he's white. But did you pass over candidates who had license A for that? You're setting yourself up for it.
I've seen that I heard someone applied for that job and did not get it.
You're setting yourself up for a Brian Flores type of thing where you're going to have to explain how you didn't... how qualified people didn't get the job, who could have potentially got the job, like, and you exposed your players to it. Like, a lot of these players for Rice and Louisville were under NDAs, and then they straight up just started talking. And one of the bigger things is I'm thinking of Amina Ekic. She basically was like, you let this man coach us, and he didn't have a license?
Yeah, she was.
And she kept repeating that. And it's like, they got...
Shout out to Amina, by the way, who's the only current player,
I think she's still the only current player who was... through all this.
At Louisville, yeah.
And you let them be exposed to this mess? What do you think is going to happen? And you can go to the... in Chicago, you can go to what happened in Portland, North Carolina Courage. Like, these people did not have valid licenses, and they were allowed to coach. Rory Dames is still coaching on the youth level.
His name is at least still on that
youth. Yeah, he's still camp. He's still doing stuff. His stuff is still existing. And so there's going to be mad legal ramifications on that, even to a point where Sunil wouldn't talk about Chicago.
Yeah, you saw him stutter.
He stuttered.
When they asked him if he had received Chris Press's two complaints,
he was like, he started stuttering. He was like, I was like, oh. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was smart enough not to reply to an email. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, everybody's up and down this report. So I expect mad litigation. We probably won't see stuff happen until after the other report. Again, the racism was far reaching. You particularly know, even if it wasn't explicitly given recommendations for it, as Sil said, the racism is up and down U.S. soccer. And you got to keep in mind, USF is a federal body.
Yes,
and so they're entitled to the laws against discrimination as a federal body.
Yep.
She literally described wholesale racial discrimination, harassment, bias, retaliation.
Yep.
You can freaking get sued. In multiple clubs. And she also talked about the federation level. You can get sat down in Capitol Hill and have to explain yourself. This is how you get disbanded.
Yeah. I mean, listen, U.S. Gymnastics had to do it.
U.S. Gymnastics had to do it.
They had to do it.
It's probably coming. So
it's likely going to be the same thing.
No telling how many discrimination laws they've broken, particularly wild enough, probably broken in a state like California that has several laws on the books for a lot of the stuff they're doing, get you at least in civil court. And so,
damn, I forgot they were in Kentucky. Damn.
All right, and, yeah, they were in Kentucky. Yeah, they are. that might protect them a little bit. But
I'm gonna. Sorry, I just want to posit this to people. Imagine at your job, somebody who didn't have their paperwork sexually assaulted one of your coworkers. How the hell do you think that would go?
That's what happened. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
And multiple people in this report are liable. So just because, yeah, this other report is probably gonna put people on Front Street, is gonna get wild. So wouldn't be surprised if we see more ramifications out of the second report, because there's things where people knew they knew, so yep. You were liable because you were just passing bucks around.
I have a curiosity.
Uh-huh. Yes,
I'm assuming it doesn't exist because the lead didn't have an HR department didn't have HR departments, but some of those people gotta, well, and I know it's not youth either, but don't some of those people gotta be mandatory reports or whatever the equivalent is? Because I'm in education. We have to report that stuff. I have to take a whole test and all of that stuff. So when it particularly comes to sexual assault, abuse, harassment, you gotta say something.
Yes.
I don't know what it is for adults, but I'm just like, nobody with power at U.S. Soccer had to do that. That's just a question. If somebody knows the answer, they can answer.
Yeah. And I think part of the issue, and Sally Yates pointed this out in the report, how safe sport is involved with U.S. soccer on portions that they can't report other abuses, it just makes it reporting process a mess. And I don't even want to get into Cindy Powell-Cone had to then report multiple cases of things to safe sport, because that means more likely than not that sexual harassment, sexual type in nature, because that's their jurisdiction. According to the report. So I don't even want to go there. But a big thing that's clear, that was clear to me in this documentary, this report, that I knew even before as we got into the space now as media people and learning so much, is that we're talking about how United States in particular, well, everybody around the world, but we need to be real about how we treat our entertainment quotation marks fields and how we allow people in the entertainment, the arts, so on and so forth. We value as entertainment sports. We treat it as sports entertainment, but we forget they're also careers. And so just as you don't want to be working at, I don't want to be working as an engineer and be subjected to anything and not have a human resources department, not have no DEI training going around, no codes of conduct, no harassment policies. These players have been existing in systems that haven't had any kind of guardrails or protections. And so you can only imagine what has happened. That needs to be the immediate correction point of whatever happens. Codes of conduct, worth a damn. Harassment policies, worth a damn. Super deep and in depth. People need DEI training, leadership training, communication training. Everybody needs to do it and participate in it. Coaches have to be held accountable. There needs to actually, too many times I saw that there were surveys given, reports given of how people were acting terrible as coaches.
And nothing was done with it.
And nothing was done. There needs to be 360 reviews. Just like I got to go through it and get reviewed by my peers and my boss. You need the whole 360. Because I can tell you right now, I'm watching games where coaches don't know tactics. So you need evaluation of how people are not only treating players off the pitch, but also can they coach? Because it's too many players we've talked to who said they can't coach. They know about more soccer than them. And it makes sense when you're out here hiring your homeboy who coaches, who has a daughter. You hired a father of a daughter.
Oh God, please. Girl, then
you had a father of a daughter. Well, I'm a daughter to a mother.
When
that is your logic of why you hire somebody and not can they coach or not, can they read what's going on and evaluate talent on the field, or they've been coaching children, you got them coaching grown players. Like, there has to be actual accountability. I can't go out here and engineer if I don't got a degree. If they don't have a license, they don't need to be out there.
I listen.
Yes, go ahead.
The Yates report alluded to youth soccer, and she literally said, I don't have the scope. Like, I don't have the time and scope to do it. But somebody should look into it.
It needs to happen.
As somebody who works with minors and has for over a decade, The amount of times I've had to have meetings, fingerprints, take mandatory reporting training, continually, every year, multiple times a year.
Yes.
And none of that's happened in U.S. soccer. There are 3 million children annually.
Yes.
Registered for the U soccer program in U.S. All of this is documented by the USSF because they have to, because they're a government body.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to document it. And again, this is the same federation that controlled the league. That's why you had allocation. These players had no freedom. There was no free agency. Louisville made those players sign an NDA. They had no choice. There's never been choice. There's never been choice, which means there can never be consent.
Come on now.
These players have never had a choice. So everything you're seeing now is because this is the first time they've had choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them a decade. I would argue longer. Because I imagine this abuse is generational at this point.
Yes.
And when I say abuse, I'm not just talking about the sexual abuse. I'm talking about the emotional abuse. I'm talking about the racism. I'm talking about the homophobia. I'm talking about all of it.
Yep.
There's at least a generation. I would argue post-99.
Yes.
So think about all the players that have come through youth soccer since the 99ers. We just did the 20 years for that 3 years ago.
Yeah. All that abuse under the sun.
Trinity Rodman wasn't born yet. Jaden Shaw was 5 years away from being born. I'm giving you perspective.
I can tell you, even before then, I was in coaching. My coaches were terrible in high school. They shouldn't have been coaching.
Yeah.
Verbal abuse. Verbal abuse. Straight.
It is and has been.
Normalized.
It has been this way forever. We have made a sport where one of the greatest players of all time kicked a can in Argentina. Because that's what he could afford, which was nothing. His family was dirt poor. Maradona learned to play kicking pebbles in cans in the street. And then balls.
Yes.
And he, for however you feel about him, could excel because he was gifted. And he could make it out. The poorest people in the world play football. It's for everyone.
Yes.
And it's everywhere on the globe, more than any other sport. And we have made that shit like equestrian. Dressage. It's too expensive. It's too exclusive. It's too white.
Right.
Shout out to Kay, by the way, who's like the one black equestrian person I know. Yeah. But like, seriously, we've made it an exclusive, expensive, ultra white sport.
And then it's not accessible. And then people don't think people want to deal with it. And so then you can even bring a circle to, we're black media members who are in the soccer space who like soccer. And so I know people might go, well, what about all the people for other media outlets that didn't come in? They didn't think soccer was for them. We're also in true. 2022, and I know black people who don't think soccer's for them. Because my mom is still like,
yeah, why are you doing that?
Why are you doing that? Why do y'all have a soccer podcast? The Metro ain't gonna be working in DC. And I literally got told, well, soccer is not that important. Because they don't think soccer is for them. Mm-hmm. You have several cultures like this. This is even here in Los Angeles where multiple people play. They don't think it's for them. And this is coming back from the need for soccer to be super white and inaccessible in this country. It is so fucking infuriating and frustrating because then it makes you broke. But unfortunately for you, the way that you can to get money and for the money to flow, even still, I mean, the black people are still kicking in the doors, brown people still kicking in the doors, coming through and invading the system. You're going to have to make it accessible. And to correct all the things that were a disaster, you're going to have to actually do the work, have the training, get professional. You know what I mean?
Yep. Once
you're again. Going to have to evolve. You're going to have to listen to us.
Right.
Or we'll do
if
it
you,
ourselves.
If you aren't going to be diverse, and let me be very clear, I mean racial diversity.
Yes.
Y'all try my life with that. Because that little team of people y'all hired, it was like, oh, we have 2 white women. Listen,
that's
department. I added you. I asked you. I told you. I don't dodge anybody. I asked directly. Like, what are we doing? What are our hiring practices? How are we ensuring that we're doing that? And that's not the only diversity. I understand that. But today, we talk about the racial part.
Yep.
So, like, what does that look like and what are we doing? Once again, straight from the report. The lack of diversity tracks back to a pipeline of players that have been traditionally limited by the sport's inaccessibility and, quote, young black girls' experience of racism firsthand from teammates and parents, and I would probably argue coaches.
Yes.
I need you to understand, there's never been a time black players have played this sport and racism hasn't been there.
Right. All the time.
And I don't care how old they are.
Yep.
If you ask Kim Crabb, it's true.
Yep.
If you ask Jaden Shaw, it's true.
Yep.
And I say this knowing that the majority of black players that do break through in spite of everything, one, are damn talented, and two, for the most part, come from money. Or at least enough money to be able to afford it.
Yes.
So there's a whole cluster of black and brown folks who ain't never going to play because they can't afford it.
Yep.
There's a bunch of poor white kids who will never play because they can't afford it. Mm-hmm. But those poor white kids got a better shot than them poor black kids and those poor brown kids. Mm-hmm. In this country, as the system is currently constructed.
Literally, no, a group of black kids who are playing soccer in the LA area who have to be so good, they literally have to score more points to deal with the racism they encounter from referees, other teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other without the leagues. They literally have a mindset of just scoring more points to beat out the racism.
Yeah.
This is happening.
We saw that at BYU, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that was soccer play. And then there was another racist incident like 2 weeks later in basketball or another sport, football, something like that. But like, it happens now, right? We just had the video, I think the Reverend shared it with us, where she was standing over the player. Like, it's micro, which is still not micro. It's macro, and it's everything in between.
Yes.
And it's just accepted.
And it keeps happening. Repeat.
You know how much it hurts to see y'all just let racism be?
It sucks ass.
Like, it's just it's a value, and it's a thing that happens, and y'all just, it's a character flaw to y'all, and not violence.
Come on now.
Sorry, finishing my thought. If you're not going to do inclusion, if you're not going to do diversity, if you're not going to work toward equity, because it's the right thing to do, do it because it makes you money.
Yeah.
Because right now, you tapped out the white people.
Yeah.
They can't give you no more money. Yeah, the rich white parents will pay. But if you want the money going forward, it can't be that.
Yeah. Because guess what?
So y'all aren't going to do it because it's the right thing to do. So do it so you can make money.
Right. Because in a lot of these cities, who you need to make money, I mean, basketball had to do it.
Yeah, they did.
Baseball had to do it.
Every other sport had to do it.
NFL had to do it.
Yes.
They racist as hell. They had to do
it. And guess when baseball made money? After it integrated.
After integrate, you ain't gonna make money till you let the people in.
And after people their scared union of. Won the rights for their players, who some of them, I remember, didn't Walter Johnson, I think, likened it to slavery because that's what the reserve clause was, and that's essentially what the NWSL had. If we're keeping it above,
oh Lord,
if you don't know what the reserve clause is, look up Lee Marvin, Google that shit. It is indentured servitude, and it ain't that far off from what the NWSL was doing. In the year of our Lord, 2022.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, at least with allocation.
Hell, the fact that I'm reading that report today that got dropped. Just now in 20, just last year, they didn't even have decent housing. They had something opportunity to get decent housing. That's unacceptable fucking behavior.
They lived in housing that was owned by their owner.
Yes. And it
and
wasn't.
And the city where housing discrimination is more prevalent than any city in America. Because when white conservatives tell you Chicago, you know it's a dog whistle. But they'll never tell you why Chicago like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the housing.
Yep.
And how racist y'all were about it. We'll get into that another day. You'll get a history lesson. Because that's where Donald Sterling started too. And how did that end?
Well, okay. Preacher. All right, Reverend.
But yeah, I just like, listen. Go ahead and finish your point.
Well, you had to listen.
I'm done once again, one more time, because I'm gonna annoy you. You can skip as far as you want. The rod is white supremacy. We have a white supremacy problem. Do your anti-racism work, and all the shit will magically get better. Not perfect, but better. And to Aaron Simon, Jen Hallstrom, Sydney LaRue, Sam Johnson, Kristen Press, Kaya McCullough, Mana Shim, Sinead Fairley, and anybody else who was named, I'm sorry.
Yes. I'm very sorry.
Okay, I'm done.
If we had access, we would have done what we could. And to all the other players, anybody we've had to help, any staff members, any people out here.
Oh, goodness.
We hope that we can help.
And the staff is not unionized. Staff is not unionized.
And staff is not unionized. Staff is not unionized. Please know that you do, too, fall under the policy. Yes. And there is information. If you need to report something.
Yes.
We can help you get to that.
And so, yes, and we can get you in touch with the PA, and they have mechanisms in place for that.
Right. So if you know anybody, let them know, and we can guide them to the information, because, yes. But, yeah, we are sorry. I'm sorry. Still sorry. And sorry. White people do better. Like, everybody do better, and read a goddamn book, particularly of that. And on that note, we leave that alone. Yes. I guess my brief, I have to... I was going to leave this alone, but I have to address this. To the Ballon d'Or rankings. The nonsense that has happened with these black and brown players and not adequately ranking them. I mean, it was bad enough you didn't incorporate swaths of leagues across the world because we were being European in focus. European focus is like you only validating proper type of soccer, mostly based in whiteness, whatever. But then to do this egregious behavior of devaluing black and brown talent, and seeing these rankings, how you have a person who only is effectively a 9 be higher ranked than somebody who is a dynamic player and scored more goals and had more impact blows my mind. I mean, it clearly lets me know y'all still aren't watching women's soccer. Y'all don't care about most soccer, and you don't know what you're reading with comprehension. Do better, be better. And apologize to you black and brown players.
I'm gonna say this as a Lyon fan. Until y'all do right by my girls, Deani and Katoto, everything you touch gonna fail.
Right. And to have not, there were no Lyon players ranked in the top
5, I think.
Top 5? Like, what?
I think Wendy was the highest ranked. And she was also the highest ranked black player.
Yeah, disrespectful foolishness. Y'all gotta stop this mess.
Shout out to Oberdorf, though. You a baller.
Yeah, Oberdorf. Well, she gonna cook us up. Well, she gonna cook us up. What is gonna
blow? That's a different show.
Hold on. But also, to the black players, brown players out there, all the players, you know, keep balling, doing what you do. I know. Sophia Smith has said she just accepting she won't get recognized. Nah. To all you players, we see you, hear you. We gonna do what we gotta do for you and rep for you all day, every day.
She's my MVP. That's who I voted.
Yeah, she's the MVP, and she should have had golden balls and all kinds of shit. But we not gonna go there yet.
So close. Damn, I needed them to do better. And I got
my last quick roasting, that will probably be the eternal ether of roasting, is Vlatko Adanoski. Sir, okay. I don't know what you doing tactically, but the nonsense that happened over there in Europe needs to stop. You can't run a 4-3-3 with this team.
No.
You're not even running 4-3-3. It's a 4-1-1-1.
It's a 4 in vibes, is what.
In vibes.
And do really, when I say 4, it's Naomi Garman in vibes.
Yeah. What in the world? They had no business losing like that. The lack of understanding your talent. You're running out the same system, doing the same thing, acting like you got the same players. Like, what are you doing?
By Real Madrid. Jesus Christ. Okay.
We got yeeted by the second team of the national team for Spain. If they had the full team, we would have probably got 10 pieced.
Got 8 up.
We're probably going to get yeeted into the...
Like, they beat us. We had one shot on goal. And it didn't come until, like, late in the second half.
It's probably the kids, too. But, Mr. Vlatko Adanoski, I need
kids. Everybody's in
I need you to do better tactically. I need you to recognize the players you have. These players are way too talented. Actually deploy a system that's not a 4-3-3 and how it's implemented. And use a 3-5-2, any 5-2, any something, any whatever it takes.
Anything to not the 4-3-3.
To be embarrassing, because this has ramifications. Because again, when we don't have systems in place for feedback, y'all then act like these players ain't shit. Like y'all been thinking these Orlando Pride players ain't shit. They get on different teams and they've been balling.
All the Louisville players left in.
But we don't got no feedback systems yet, because soccer is still archaic in this country. Yeah. And y'all sitting up here acting like these players are whack. They not ready. You got people talking crazy.
And you don't know how to coach. You also don't really know how to evaluate talent.
You know, but how that's to evaluate
a
talent.
That's a different conversation. That's a
But we'll do that in extension in our Patreon.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. I do have a, I don't know if it's a rant or a shout out. But just a quick note. Today is October 18th, and it is Brittany Griner's birthday.
Yes.
She's still in prison, not jail, in Russia. She sent a message out today. So today and every day. But particularly today. Free BG.
Free BG.
She does not deserve this. No one does.
Yes.
Let her come home.
Yeah, let her come home. Stop having her be a political pawn.
She's a pawn.
Yeah, please bring her home. Keep your head up, pimp.
Yeah.
If you were to somehow
we love you, BG.
We love you.
As a person. Fuck a basketball.
Yes, as a person. Fuck a basketball. You don't got to pick up one. No more. Just stay strong. We going to get you home. Some kind of way.
And to her wife and to her children. Like, we love y'all. We got y'all.
Yeah. And on that note. All right. So, we're going to leave the ranting behind and close the door of the Shea Butter library situation of whatever the hell that was. Oh, look at us. It wasn't even that long. All right. So, next to the thing. What's the next thing? Is the...
Hits and Riffs.
It's in Riffs. Oh, I just talked. You can go, Reverend Deacon.
First.
Reverend Deacon, Deacon.
I'm screaming, please.
Bishop.
I did not earn that title yet.
You are a bishop.
Well, you have to go to school.
It don't matter.
My parents went to school.
The school of Shea Butter.
Okay. Old school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have a tempo for this. One is home is where the hatred is.
Ooh.
Gil Scott-Heron. For obvious reasons and not obvious reasons. Been playing some Gil Scott-Heron lately. And then my slow jam. No, that's not the right song.
That is not the right song. That is.
I was listening to that song right before we came on. That's why.
There was hope for you, and then it just went away.
I keep hearing footsteps, baby, in the dark. I'm not gonna hit that note, so I'm not gonna do it. Footsteps in the Dark by the Isley Brothers. Also, one of the best samples because it's also the sample for I Didn't Have to Use My AK.
Okay.
Today was a good day. Sorry. Hey, when in Los Angeles.
Sills the shocker. What the?
Excuse you. That's Ice Cube. Before he became a family
manager. I know what you was doing, but why did
I'm
you
talking
have
to the people.
Why did you have to make them wait?
I don't know. It felt right. I can't do like a soft voice for an NWA verse. Come on now. And now he makes Are We There Yet? That's hilarious to me.
Yes, he's
new
a
school.
Oh, no, what are you doing?
Oh, sorry.
What the hell is you? What?
My fault. Sorry.
All right. I think I did this already. I'm going to do it again. That's Dance For Me by Queen Latifah.
Okay.
Because I couldn't find, I think I wanted another Queen Latifah song. I would do Freedom, the rap version.
I can do. Oh, you don't like the song?
I wanted to do Freedom, the rap version of the song that was off the Panther soundtrack. Because we had to do it again when we talk about racism.
Yeah,
but the rap version with Queen Latifah, Left Eye, Spinderella. No, it was not my bad. It was Salt and Pepper, and Yo Yo.
Wow.
Yeah, it was way back when. Yeah, that was fire. Lord, that why my voice.
All cried. Right. Ooh.
And then my other one, Wishing It Was, by Santana.
Wow.
Featuring Eagle Eye Cherry.
Ooh, that's a name I have not heard.
I love that song. I want to play the guitar like that song. You know, I was like, I play bass guitar, but if I could have played, you know, lead.
Santana's one of the goats, man.
I would have been like Santana. And trying to spit that game. Sorry.
Okay, I mean,
never
changed. Again, he made a song called Smooth, and he's one of the smoothest.
He is smooth. That is smooth. Well, that song will get you right. There's several things that get you right.
Fun fact, Eagle Eye Cherry is the younger brother of Nana Cherry. You have to be really old to know that is. Okay,
wow.
Sorry.
She's
an 80s artist.
Wow.
Anyway, sorry. Okay, new school for me.
Mm-hmm.
My turn up is NDA. For no reason at all. By Meg Thee Stallion.
Wow.
It speaks to a lot of why you should like why they suck, but yeah, it's like in a general and just her life.
Yes, they do suck,
and it felt very appropriate for the moment. And also it's Meg, and I love Meg, and also shout out to Meg for choosing herself.
Yes,
and taking a break. Somebody listed out like all the shit that's happened to her, and I was just like, I don't know how sis is standing. And her home was robbed while she was doing SNL.
Yes. Damn.
So she's like, I just need to take a break. So I hope she does. I hope she rests and rejuvenates. You made all this money. Take the time, love. Go be with your man. Get well. Heal up. And just be. And then Slow Jam is the words. Mooney Long. I really like her. I think she's kind of throwbackish for R&B. But yeah, I like that song a lot. Especially the intro. So that's it.
Okay. I guess my new... Actually, this is actually a new song. I don't think I said this one. My Life by J. Cole, 21 Savage, and Morey.
Jermaine.
I actually really like that song. And then Dedication.
Wow.
I don't think I did that one. By Nipsey Hussle featuring Kendrick Lamar. Nipsey Hussle's verse, when he's talking about the four folks in the boat, that whole description, read as the words are. Yes, that verse. Yes. That's how we be out here in these streets, but we gonna figure this out. Anywho, that's all we got for the hits and roasts. Do we have any shout outs?
Yes, we do have shout outs, but just quickly, I've been here what, 2 months?
Yes.
Fuck the council, man. I'm with that lady. That nonsense.
Oh yeah, fuck the
speaking
council.
Speaking of racism.
Yeah. Okay, so I need people to understand. I mean, we touched on it. Just because you ain't white don't mean that you are you are above the racist behavior. Anti-blackness. Like, anti-blackness is real. Like I said, Los Angeles is one of the racist cities I've ever lived in. The anti-blackness is so insane. And so I get why things are the way they are. And fuck all y'all who ain't touched the anti-racism book. You need to touch one. You're not absolved. Just because you got melanin content in your skin don't mean you aren't above an anti-racist book. I will talk about it. I will throw one at you if I need to. Like, you need to go read. Go read it. Dr. Kendi got a phenomenal book that literally prevents you from trying to be... You gonna get to hide. You gotta confront your white supremacy. You got some other books. What books do people need to read? You got another book that somebody can read?
Well, the title of this episode is But Some of Us Are Brave.
Oh, see how I knew.
Which
we
is an anthology.
Mm-hmm.
By some of the best black feminist minds, many of them queer.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend reading it. You can start pretty much anywhere in the book you want.
Yep.
But you got plenty of people to choose from, and I'm gonna say this, and you can think I'm biased, I don't care. If your work ain't led by black feminist thought, you're probably doing it wrong. Because when you say believe black women, trust black women, that's what we mean.
Yes.
You should center that.
Yes, it needs to be centered.
It's not going
to
change your identity, but it's going to change your outlook.
Yep.
Yeah. So I would say read that. Read Ijeoma. I thought all y'all did in 2020 because you couldn't get the book, but clearly y'all just bought it and it's dusty.
Just that, dust it off and open it.
I don't know. Read some Baldwin. Read some Toni Morrison. Read some poems. It's real easy. Read some Langston Hughes. Damn it, read Letter from a Birmingham Jail. It's literally like 2 pages. Just read that shit.
Read the whole thing, not the part that you want to hear. Read the whole thing. Because y'all be skipping over parts. Like,
I mean, King wrote books and sermons and everything else, but y'all pick all the stuff that don't make sense and is out of context. Like, actually read King. Don't just pick up quotes in January. Read King.
Read it today. In October.
I was going to say read Malcolm. I don't know if y'all there yet.
Yeah, we're not there yet. We baby steps.
Just read. Like, read. You can Google black authors. Hell, read new stuff. Read young adult stuff. Read, like, there's so much good art and writing that can inform your worldview. It doesn't all have to be heavy. But just, like, read about the black experience. Don't co-opt it. Read about it.
Read about it. Learn about it. Interact with black people.
We are people.
We are people.
We are fully human.
Yes. We're not monolithic.
And most of y'all don't think we are.
Yes.
Interact with black people. When I say gay, when I say woman, the default is white.
Right.
I know, because y'all say them separately.
Ooh.
As Toni Morrison said, American means white because everybody else is hyphenated.
Ooh.
And I'll leave you with that.
Okay. Well, okay, Reverend Dickin, we're going to wrap this up now. So we're going to get some shout outs.
Yes.
So, hey, 2 Cents Family, 2 Cents Show, FTC United, Can I Kick It, Dreaming of Freedom, Walking 90, Kaya Esquire. just going to call it Kaya Esquire. The Tallest Pod, the Dice.
Nah, that nut. Tweet you let off earlier.
Tall ass Andre, who's in Spain. Courtney is too tall. Courtney. Yo, Nubia, why did you. Oh, shit. Let me make sure I read ahead before I say something.
Yes.
So I don't say something wild.
Chill out.
By the way, Surf Skyscraper. Oh, yeah. If you're a patron, you should have seen our.
Yes.
This month, a shot of watching a bomb game between Australia and Brazil. We shot it with Diaspora United. Y'all asked for commentating. You get it and more. You get more than you ever thought you could get. That is on the Patreon situation. So shout out to y'all. He does have a movie coming out. Street Team.
Yo, he gonna be so mad.
He's gonna be so pissed when he wakes up. Shout out to the New York, New Jersey situation. Nubia, JG, Georgia, Match Day Picks, Ebony Navidad, and all her home team. Roommate Alex in LA, and all you other people who might be on the team that I know on the team. Michaela, and everybody, Undersun.
Yes.
Sponsors, Yow Pow Sports, Carolyn Needles, all our patrons.
Love to y'all. More
much love to y'all. Y'all have more content come in, because we're going to talk about this U.S. soccer situation, and we got to do our Shea Butter Double Dutch of the month.
And we have to do superlatives.
We will both
be at the championship, so keep an eye out for announcements, content, like that.
We're going to be in D.C. I'm going to Atlanta this weekend, but we're going to be in D.C. We're going to do some things. We're going to be there. You can see us live in person.
Yeah.
You can I was gonna say something that sounded weird. You can be in our space if you're vaccinated, but you can be near us. You will see us. We will be seeing you. We got things planned.
We do. We're working hard. We promise.
We're gonna be in the streets.
Yes. So, I think that's all we have.
That's it. So what we need to do? We need to stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
Stay vaccinated. Amen. But also make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
Have a great week. Be blessed. Stay fresh. Next time we do this episode, I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey.
Hey.
All up under mama. I can't wait to be up under my mama. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm gonna be like, mama!
I will be up under my mommy dad so bad. I love my
so excited. Okay. So, see you, hear you. See you soon. Peace.
All right, peace.